In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Gospels suggest that Jesus had an inner circle. If you read through the Gospel of Mark or Matthew or Luke, you will find three places where Jesus takes just three of the disciples with him for an important experience. And those three are always Peter, James, and John. The first time Jesus takes just Peter, James, and John with him is when he goes to the house of Jairus, whose daughter has died. And Peter, James, and John are with him when he raises Jairus' daughter. The second time, Jesus takes only Peter, James, and John up the mountain, where they alone see Jesus transfigured. They see him as he really is, shining with the glory of God. The third time that Jesus goes aside with just Peter, James, and John is in the garden on the night where he is betrayed. But that is still to come. So at this point in the gospel, maybe this had gone to their heads. It must have, at least for James and John. Can you believe what they say to Jesus? Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Who does that? What a setup. I know you've seen this scene before. A parent, a mom or a dad is sitting at the dining room table, either reading the paper or a book or totally engrossed on their computer, and the daughter comes in and starts asking questions. Dad, can I go over to Cindy's house today? Sure, no problem. Can we go to the mall? Sure, no problem. Can I take $40 out of your wallet? Sure, no problem. By this time, the daughter knows that the dad is not really listening. Can I drive your new car? Sure, no problem. Did James and John think that Jesus was not really listening to them? We want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Did they think Jesus would say, sure, no problem? James and John are hungry for power and status, prestige. They're having a nice little daydream of their own. Imagine what it will be like with Jesus sitting in his glory. The best seats are right beside him, one on the right and one on the left, but there are only two seats. So let's forget Peter and get our dibs in now. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. But Jesus was not distracted. Jesus was listening. And so he asked them, "What is it that you want? Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." They just didn't get it. The pattern of the Christian life is death and resurrection. But here's the thing. The death part comes first. We don't get the resurrection without the dying. Our pattern is death and resurrection, not an upward, endless escalator to glory. Our pattern is death and resurrection. We let go of our life in order to save it. We die to self over and over, in small ways and sometimes in big ways, in order to live to God. The monk was asked what they did in the monastery all day long. We fall and get up, fall and get up, fall and get up, over and over, he said. All of us fall and get up, fall and get up, over and over. James and John want to skip the difficult part of discipleship, and Jesus knows that. So Jesus does what he always does. He looks deep into the human heart. He looks into the hearts of James and John and sees their desire for power and status. So Jesus, as their teacher, gives them a reality check. You do not know what you are asking. You are missing the whole point here. Are you able to go through the suffering that is ahead of us? Yes, of course, they say, not knowing now what this really means. Meanwhile, the other disciples, being human, get angry with James and John. Who are they to think they're the best? All the disciples are caught up in the ways of the world in this gospel passage. Who is the best disciple, they ask? Who gets to sit at the best seat at the table? Why isn't it me? Over and over again, Jesus reminds them, the way of the world is turned upside down in God's kingdom. And as our presiding bishop likes to say, Jesus came to turn the world upside down, which is exactly the way it is supposed to be. If you want to be great, Jesus says, you must be a servant. That's why I am here, Jesus tells them. That's what I am here to show you with my life. And so he did. He gave himself up freely to death out of love. And then God brought new life out of death. God raised Jesus Christ from the dead so that the very fabric of creation was changed forever. And that is the good news. The good news is that Jesus loved James and John and Peter and all the other disciples, even Judas, even when they got it wrong, even when they fell away, even when they denied, or even when they betrayed him. The good news is that Jesus loves all of us, not just the ones who get it, not just the ones who serve others, not just the ones who commit their lives to him, knowing or not knowing the cost. Jesus loves all of us. Jesus came to show us the love of God, to break the chains that bind us, and keep us from becoming the people that God intends for us to be. Jesus came to make the inner circle bigger and bigger and bigger until there is no inner circle, until all God's children are included, until the circle is as large as our entire planet, until all of creation finds its place in a world turned upside down by God's unfathomable love. Amen.